Thanks, Andrew, for reading that for me. We'll get to that part here in just a second. Morning. By way of introduction this morning, I have in my pocket two things that shouldn't be in my pocket. Just a little simple box cutter that I used to use when I was in the grocery business, and about a 3-inch long scar as a reminder to change the blade in this simple little box cutter. It was a Tuesday, long time ago, probably 25 years, truck day at the small store I worked at, and we had several hundred cases that had come in that morning, and we tried, between three of us, to get most of it up before we went home late that afternoon. I was in a hurry, and I knew better. I'd been around long enough to know that you need to change the blades. They were free, purchased by the store. Takes, what, all of about 5 seconds to pull this thing out, pop a new blade in it, and go right along, and probably have no problems. But I didn't want to take the time to walk to the back room and take the 5 seconds that it would take to put a new blade in this thing. And I'm opening boxes, and the blade's dull. It pops out, zing, right down my hand. It was sharp enough to lay my hand open. So instead of saving a little time but not walking to the back room and replacing the blade in this thing, I was out probably a couple of hours or better having someone drive me to the doctor and have stitches put in it and not really be able to use my left hand for 2 or 3 days very well. Didn't learn anything from that, apparently. About 25 years later, I'm out front trying to cut some twine with this little guy. And the blade on my pocket knife that I've had for some time and used a lot was dull enough that it would not cut twine. Luckily, I didn't cut myself this time. I did have to take the time to go in and find a pair of scissors to where I could cut this twine and continue on doing what I was trying to do. And it occurred to me sitting out here in the audience just a few moments ago that I have a small chainsaw downstairs. And you guessed it, the blade's dull. Now, will I be smart enough to sharpen the chainsaw before I try to use it again? Probably not. But that will be worse than a little thing like that if it bucks out of a piece of wood. Anyway, I got to thinking about that, and I'm reminded of my stupidity every time I see that scar on my left hand. That what would have taken me all of about a minute took multiple hours. Because I didn't have the foresight to sharpen my box cutter, to put a sharp blade in it. And I read a story some time ago along the same lines, and it kind of prompted my thoughts for this morning. More as a reminder than anything else. We're not going to say anything that you've never heard before, but just a reminder to stay sharp or to sharpen yourself. Some years ago, a young man asked the foreman of a logging crew for a job. The foreman asked him to demonstrate his ability by cutting down a tree. The young man felled the tree with much skill. Impressed, the foreman gave the man a job. Thursday afternoon, the foreman told the man he could pick up his paycheck at the end of the day. Realizing that Friday was payday, the young man asked for an explanation. The foreman informed the man that the daily production charts indicated his production had fallen off from first place on Monday to last place 2 days later on Wednesday. The young man protested, "I'm a hard worker. I arrive first, I leave last, and I even work through my coffee breaks." The foreman, sensing the man's integrity and his desire to do well, simply asked, "Have you been sharpening your axe?" His reply was that, "I've been working too hard to take the time." The assessment that he was too busy to sharpen his axe resulted in decreased production while increasing his workload and his frustration. He spent more time, accomplished less, and worked harder in the process. He would have done much better if he'd simply taken time to sharpen his axe, or a box cutter, or a pocket knife, or a chainsaw. But he should have sharpened his axe. Many Christians today may feel frustrated, not growing as they would like, not accomplishing in their Christian lives what they would like to do, not as spiritually strong, maybe, as they would like to be. Yet they find themselves busy with important things. They're doing some good things, but not the most important things. And this morning I want us to think about the lesson from this young tree cutter. You need to take time to sharpen your axe, all of us. Your Christian life will be more productive and fulfilling as a result. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 14, we read that for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We should not stay spiritually stagnant. We need to grow stronger, become more knowledgeable, and if you will, get sharper in the Word of God and our working for our Savior. A wise Christian, then, will continually take time to sharpen his axe. In 1 Thessalonians, we have three things I'd like to point to this morning as needing to be sharpened. And we could go a lot of different directions with this, but I chose three. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 and 18, says simply, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Sharpen your axe with regular, diligent, purposeful prayer. James 5 and 16, and some of these verses are so small, they have so few words, but carry so much of an impact. James 5 and 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." We all know that verse. We know what it means. But do we really take the time to implement what this verse tells us to do? Do we take the time to change the razor in our little box cutter? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." When we ask our Father, whatever it might be that we need, healing, intelligence, faith, strength, whatever it might be, we know that He is exceedingly able to answer our prayers. Our effectual, fervent prayers avails much. We can find great potential prayer or power in our prayer. And we know this. We just need to take the time to do it. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, looking at verses 7 through 11, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." We know the potential power of prayer. We know it avails much. But if we don't use these prayers and plug it into God's power, it is of no benefit to us at all. I take a couple of different meds to try and keep my diabetes at bay. Pretty good little medicine. They're very inexpensive, and I can tell a difference if I don't take them for a day or two for whatever reason. Usually the same sloppiness that caused this. All the medicine in the world, if it sits on top of my refrigerator, isn't going to do any good if I don't take it. If I don't take it, it'll lead to serious consequences and eventually my earlier death than might otherwise be what's planned for me. But by just taking a couple of small pills, I can feel a whole lot better and get through my day in a whole lot better shape. But I've got to take the little pills. Our thoughts, in the back of our minds, though they might be good, if we don't take them to our Father, don't avail us a whole lot because we don't take advantage of the avenue that God has given us through prayer. James, the first chapter, verses 5-7, we can find God's wisdom, guidance, and encouragement through prayer. There are so many things that we can take advantage of in our Christian walk that we can sharpen ourselves with by simply doing this thing that we've been asked to do. Philippians, the fourth chapter. We talked about this a little bit downstairs in the high school class this morning. God wants us to pray to Him. We don't bore Him. He doesn't get tired of hearing us, but He likes us to bring our problems or our good things to Him. Just to communicate, just to let Him know that we know He's there and we know that He's in charge. God enjoys that. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When I was little, there were times, and I still remember them some, that I would go to Mom or Dad with a problem. And they'd listen. They might not always be able to solve it, but the simple fact that I had gone to them and unloaded myself and my little 7 or 8 year old problem, which probably was not a big deal at all, it was to me. But how much better did you feel just going to Mom and Dad with something and laying it out there and hoping they can do something with it that you were unable to? The difference is, and we know this, that when we unburden ourselves to our Father, He can do something with it. He will do what's best for us, not necessarily what we would like to see, but what's best for us. And this peace that enters us through simply talking to our Father and unloading in prayer is beyond comprehension, surpasses all understanding, and it guards our hearts. And what brings us to this peace? Prayer. Luke 11:1, Jesus talking to His disciples, and He had prayed. And they asked Him a very simple request, Lord, teach us how to pray. And what a wonderful request that was of our Savior, one that we would do good probably to mimic in our own lives. Teach us how to pray, remind us to do it, and encourage one another to use these prayers to sharpen our axes. 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to study to show ourselves approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, essentially. We are to sharpen our axe, first with prayer this morning, and secondly, to sharpen our axe with regular, diligent study in God's word. If we're praying as we should, praying for one another, praying just to talk to our Father, praying, giving thanks of things that are good in our lives, praying for help that with things maybe that aren't as good. And if we're studying God's Word regularly, really meaning to understand what's in there so that we can implement it in our lives, we sharpen our axe. 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul's advice to us is to pay attention to our reading. Not just to sit down with the idea of, okay, I'm going to start on January 1 and I'm going to burn my way through the Bible because I've never read it cover to cover. And I know it's a worthwhile endeavor, and I know friends and brethren that have done this, so I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read the Bible this year. And that's how we approach it, just like we're getting a project out of the way. I mean, it's a wonderful endeavor, and we're going to run across some really neat things, but don't read it like it's something we got to do or it's something we want to get over with or because somebody else is doing it. But read God's Word, attempting to understand it, to pay attention to it, to learn things in there that we don't know, or to reinforce things that we do know, to find out that, yeah, I'm doing this right, and God's helping me with this, and maybe I can help someone else. But pay attention to our reading. Romans 15:4 and 1 Corinthians 10:11, we're told that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. How come? Because God's people, for thousands of years, have gone through essentially the same problems, the same temptations, the same human frailties, the same good things, but also a lot of the same bad things. And by reading what happened to God's people in the Old Testament and how God dealt with things and how the people worked through various trials, obviously helps us get through the same problems today. We see what works many times, and we see what doesn't work. But we understand that the Bible is for our learning, that we don't make the same mistakes maybe that people in the past have made. Sometimes we make our own, but we don't repeat the ones that are given here for us. Learn from it. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. And I want to read this one because I don't want to get it wrong. I guess not that I want to get any of them wrong, but some of them are better committed to memory than others. 2 Timothy 3. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and notice what a careful study of God's Word brings to our lives in sharpening our axes. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I didn't say a word there that you didn't already know, but it's kind of nice sometimes, isn't it, to be reminded of just exactly the power that resides in these pages and what they can do for us if we will apply ourselves to their study. We have to read it to be able to benefit from its teachings. Several verses, and I won't take the time to read them right now. John 8:31-32, Acts 20:32, 2 Timothy 3:15, James 1:18, 1 Peter 1:22-23, among many others. We find through reading these verses that our salvation is tied to our knowledge of and obedience to the teachings of God's Word. We know that as we lead our Christian lives, as we attempt to, that we have to obey God. That's very plain. We understand that. We also understand that in order to better understand what God would have us to do, to know what leads to obedience, we got to know the rules. If I sit down with a new game that we get some of the grandkids for Christmas or something that I have never played, what's the first thing that I'm going to do? Well, if it's one of the little ones and I'm short on time, I make up my own rules. But that isn't how Hoyle would have me do it. And it leads to problems later, doesn't it? No, what we're going to do is we're going to pull out the rule book, the instructions, and read through them so we can play the thing properly to gain the most benefit and the most enjoyment from it. Was the answer I should have given. Our salvation is tied to our knowledge of God's Word and the obedience that comes from understanding what God would have us to do. We need to sharpen our axe with regular, diligent study in God's Word. Hebrews 5:12-14 that we read to start our thoughts this afternoon. Spiritual maturity is dependent on our continued study of God's Word. Remember that Paul here in this chapter, in this part of the letter, was talking about those that should have been ready for meat, but they hadn't advanced that far. They were still drinking milk. Why was that? Because they hadn't really applied themselves to understanding what God would fully have them to do. They'd kind of gotten stuck. They weren't progressing. They were stagnant. And we need to get beyond that to know better what is in God's Word through reading it and studying it. And our maturity is dependent upon a continued study of God's Word. We will never fully know what are in these pages. And that's what's neat about it. Every time we can read maybe a chapter, something we haven't read for a time, and you all have done this, I'm absolutely certain, you learn something new in it, even though it's a very, very familiar passage. You get some little something out of it that you hadn't seen before. That's the beauty of God's Word, or one of the beauties. James 2:14-26, that Andrew read for us this morning to help me out. We sharpen our axe by getting involved and working in the Lord's church. Faith without works is dead, being alone, is the message that James hammered over and over and over in this chapter. We all have faith. I don't have any doubt of that, or we wouldn't be here this morning. It's a beautiful morning out there. And there are dozens of things that we could be doing besides sitting here listening to me. But you have faith in God. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for you. That He was resurrected. And that beyond this life, there are wonders that we can only begin to imagine. But our faith is evident by the cars parked in the lot. But we sharpen our axe by not only having this faith, the devils believe and they tremble in addition to that. But our axe is sharpened by getting involved and working, doing the things that God would have us to do in our work. John 13 and 17 tells us that we know these things, and blessed or happy are we if we do them. Church can be boring, can't it? When you just come to be entertained, or if you just come to get through it, because I guess this is where I need to be, and you really don't want to get involved, but you just come and sit for 2 hours. And if that's all we're doing, then we're not getting out of it what we should do. But if we come and we want to learn from God's Word, we want to better understand, we enjoy visiting with our brethren, we enjoy singing songs, and we know that these songs are being sung to one another, that we're encouraging each other with this, that we can take something out of here that will make us a better person, that will start our week off in a good frame of mind, and this good frame of mind we can spread to everyone that we come in contact with. My little job at Hy-Vee consists, my part-time job, of basically nothing more than saying hi to customers and helping them find things on the shelf. John seems to really appreciate that when he comes in the store with some of Donna's lists. But it's neat to say hi to someone and just to see a smile, to know that if only for 3 seconds, you've affected someone. And we can all do this. It's not just me. I'm a real small part of this. When we go out through those doors now, our work isn't over because we've assembled here for 2 hours, but our work has just started. Being a Christian has just begun for this week. And we can take these things, this getting involved and working out into the world with a smile on our face and accomplish wonderful things. Happy are we, I guess, bottom line is what I'm trying to get at, that I should have stopped at, if we do these things, if we get involved. Verses 18 and 22 in the second chapter of James. Our working faith gets stronger. It gets sharper the more we use it. Verses 17, 20, and 26 tells us that a faith that is inactive is a dead faith. And we know this. If we don't use it, it's dead. 1 Timothy 4, 7-8, Ephesians 2 and 10, and Titus 2 and 14 all tell us to exercise ourselves toward godliness. Now, I don't know about the exercise habits of anyone here. Mine aren't what they should be, but I do know that when I walk diligently like I'm supposed to, my blood sugar drops down, and I feel better about myself when I'm done with a 30-minute walk. And when I don't do it, if I've been doing it regularly like I'm supposed to, when I don't do it, I miss it. And that's a funny thing that you miss going out there and making yourself sometimes miserable, depending on the weather and whatnot. But it's a good thing. Exercise yourselves toward godliness. The more we do it, the more we crave it. The more it becomes part of our everyday routine, and you don't think about it until you don't do it, and then you miss it. Get involved. Work in God's church. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25, tells us to not forsake getting together, as some people do. And we know that. We're all here this morning. I'm preaching to the choir. We're told to exhort one another. We do that. We've talked to one another today. We've sang songs to God and to one another. But then the last part of that verse tells us that so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now it could be one of, I guess, more than one days. We know that the day that Jesus is going to come back is nearer now than it was 5 years ago. I know that my own demise is closer now than it was 5 years ago. Just, that's obvious. The day's approaching. In some fashion, for all of us, it's coming. So we need to be stepping our study up, our involvement up, and not retiring or taking it easy because, well, I'm 57 now and wow, I've worked hard and I'm tired. No. Step it up. We have fewer days to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So we need to get involved. That sharpens our axe, if you will, and so much the more. We sharpen our axe by finding our potential power in prayer. We sharpen our axes with regular, diligent study in God's Word. And we sharpen our axes by getting involved and working hard in the Lord's church. And the question I'll leave with you this morning as we bring these remarks to a close: are you regularly, purposefully sharpening your axe? I'm reminded daily that I didn't sharpen my little box cutter. I could have gotten reminded the last couple of days with my pocket knife that I didn't sharpen it either. And I certainly don't want to be reminded on the day of judgment that I didn't sharpen my Christian body either by doing the simple things that God asks us to do. Sharpen your axes. It takes so little time, but brings such great, wonderful results for you and for everyone you come in contact with. We'll leave these thoughts with you. I hope we've said something that'll be of some benefit or encouragement to you as we go about our day and our lives. And again, we simply leave you with this question: have you sharpened your axe today?